The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to TV Pilot Reviews here on AfterBuzz TV. Today, it's a first for us on the show. We're talking about some kind of non-scripted shows, in a sense. And they are surrounded by two very, very funny ladies, so don't move a muscle.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I love you, America! Hey.
I was not expecting that.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to TV Pilot Reviews here on AfterBuzz TV. For those tuning in for the first time, this is a show where we review some of Hollywood's hottest pilots and tell you whether you should pass or play. For those listening on the podcast, you're missing us swaying in studio. I have these amazing co-panelists who I'm swaying with in honor of our country, which is America. D'Angelo, let's start with you. It's good to have you back, buddy. We missed you last week.
I missed you guys, and that was a great show. I'm so surprised you didn't like it.
You love Mindhunter.
I was a fan.
Cool. Linda loved Mindhunter.
Yeah, we're not on that right now. Yeah. But check that show out.
Check out that show. We reviewed it last week.
You want me to introduce myself?
Just talk, yeah, come on, man.
Hi, guys. How you doing? I obviously haven't been here in a while. You can hit me up on Twitter at D'AngeloTV or on Instagram at D'Angelo. Where can they find you?
I am all over social media. Hi, guys. Linda Antwi, and I am Linda So Girly on all across the platforms.
And also not an American, so this would be a great perspective.
Right, so me, like, swinging and swaying to America, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Guys, my name is Jeff Graham. Very boring name, I think, relative to the rest of my co-panelists. But if you guys want to find me online, you can do so. Jeffrey C. Graham. We're missing our friend Sam Davidson.
We need to come home, all right? We're sick and tired of you not being here.
Especially right? Because I feel like Sam would have loved this show. Wait, just listen.
There's a real epidemic of cops murdering unarmed black teenagers.
That sums up the show.
That's our very own Sarah Silverman talking about privilege and race and politics in our country, the United States of America. Because we're going to be talking about both two shows today. We'll first be talking about her show, which is Hulu's new show, I Love You, America, of course, centered around Sarah Silverman. And then we'll be talking about Amy Sedaris' new show, At Home with Amy Sedaris. So the reason I put these both of these shows together is because I think they're both kind of meditations on very popular talk formats, but they're trying to do something different with what we're very, very used to. Yeah. That being said, they're not super, super, super new. Sarah Silverman's show premiered on October 12th, and Amy Sedaris' show premiered on October 24th, but I thought it'd be nice to pair them together, because I think there's a lot of kind of similarities in the objectives of both of these shows. I want to start by talking, though, about Sarah Silverman's show. Again, this show is called I Love You, America. It premiered on October 12th, and it is her earnest attempt to try and create a late-night show that really tries to bridge the political divide between the left and the right in our country. D'Angelo and Linda, what did you think of the show?
You first, Linda.
Oh, I'll be first. I thought it was entertaining, for sure. And I get that she is bringing, like, unity and, You know, what I got from it mostly was I am kind of maybe a little bit of a bleeding liberal, mm-hmm. and I live in a liberal cocoon.
Right.
And I think having the discussions is going to be important, having discussions with people that think differently than you, and not necessarily having it be combative, mm-hmm. but agree to disagree.
Yeah. I will say Sarah Silverman is someone who's always around from a content standpoint, but not someone I consume usually, but mm-hmm. I'm very familiar with her and her work.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So this is my opportunity to kind of divulge in that a little bit.
Yeah.
I appreciate what she's attempting to do. I will also say that I feel like she's accomplishing it to an extent. Mm-hmm. Just some stylistic things that had me feeling a certain thing, certain ways. So I dived on like, oh, I like that. And I didn't like that.
Yeah.
So the mission and the vision of it is clear. I think she accomplished most of it and I appreciated it.
Yeah, I'm like on a very similar page as both of you, and I think I liked it a lot more. It sounds like I do agree. I think the pilot was a little messy. Yeah. I think it's got a lot that
with Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Elevate your game in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe, the capable SUV that features premium interiors with available captain's chairs, available dual wireless device charging, and bold new technology, all with plenty of room for your cargo and crew. Okay, Hyundai. Visit HyundaiUSA.com to learn more about the all-new 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe.
It does need to kind of figure out. I think it did take a couple diversions. I don't know if we needed 5 minutes. Oh, this is... I'll save it. There was no one segment at the beginning that I'm not sure we needed 5 minutes of at the very beginning of the show. But that being said, I really, really loved it. Mm-hmm. And I think what I'm loving about it is I do think she's earnestly attempting to do something that no other late night show has done. I mean, I'm also someone who admittedly like loves John Oliver, but I'm probably kind of contributing to the problem of this diametric conversation around politics. And I have to applaud her for what I think is a really beautiful, at least attempt to bridge the gap. And granted, I've been a Sarah Silverman fan for a long time. I do think she's a very open-hearted, empathetic person who really... I feel like there's some Hollywood people who... want to make a difference, and this is hilarious, guys. I'm wearing the wrong headset. I just have to say, for those listening on the podcast, sometimes I just wonder how I'm working in media because I'm just like such. Just give me 2 seconds.
Because you're the man, Joe.
I love you guys.
You are. You're killing it. And we're proud of you. We support you.
Yes.
Oh, that's
and you're
much
human.
Better.
We
now
all
you hear
make
yourself.
Mistakes.
Now you hear us.
Now I can hear
great.
Everyone. But I just really like Sarah Silverman, and I think. Even though a lot of things maybe didn't work as well as they should have in this pilot, I really came away thinking, I'm very excited about this show. And I'm a definite play for this show. I don't know about you guys. Are you pass or play?
You're first.
Okay, wait. Can we define pass or play to me again?
Yeah, so pass is just like not worth watching a second episode. Right. Play is like, I'm going to keep watching.
Okay, it's worth watching. I'm not going to keep watching.
Fair enough.
But it is, I will give it a play because... Again, the topic in which she's trying to address is very necessary.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the nuances that she attacked. Mm-hmm. I personally would like to consume this topic from someone else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I can appreciate this. And I think Sarah Silverman, her name pulls certain... I know this is a long-winded explanation,
that's fine.
But...
No, that's right.
Sarah Silverman, her name pulls certain type of people that need to hear this.
Yes.
And if... freaking, I don't know, Bill O'Brien did it. It would pull a certain type of people that also need to hear it.
Yeah.
I think different people in each side of this industry need to do this in their way.
Right.
And so when it comes to this aspect, which is kind of like the liberal, like extremely liberal, like feminist, some, like I'm trying to generalize here on her market.
Right.
They also need to hear this because everyone needs to be centered a little bit.
Right. And I'm glad you brought up that point because I do want to have a conversation of... Is she going to accomplish her goals just by nature of who she is? We don't have to talk about that yet.
Yeah.
But Linda, are you a pass or play on the show?
I'm going to say I'm a play. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I'm a play is because I want to support more of this. I mm-hmm. think that the dialogue needs to be had in mm-hmm. this country. And I think that she, like Dee said, pulls in a specific crowd. And I think that even though this is a political type show, you're going to get a lot of the millennials pulled into this because of all the stuff that's going on, and it's kind of fast-paced, even though it's not a fast-paced show. Mm-hmm. There's just so much in it that you're going to get this, and you're going to get this. And, oh, by the way, we're talking about politics and division and race and feminism and all that stuff that needs to be talked about. So I'm going to say I'm a play.
Cool. Well, let's talk, as of course, after our Pass or Play segment, we always talk about the development of the show. With a show like this, there's less kind of to talk about, because normally we're talking about an entire cast and an entire team. But as with any late-night show, the anchor and glue of the show is the central person theirself. So in this case, it's Sarah Silverman. This is something she's actually been wanting to do for a long time, and she's been trying to find the right platform for it, which, of course, Hulu picked it up. But her quote is, she's saying, "I was looking to connect with people who may not agree with my my personal opinions through..." I'm just going to read it exactly as she said it, because I'm doing a bad job reading today. "Silverman is looking to connect with people who may not agree with her personal opinions through honesty, humor, and genuine interest in others, not taking herself too seriously. While it's great to connect with like-minded people, Silverman feels it's crucial now more than ever to connect with the unlike-minded." That's a really interesting point. I really like the intention behind it. What's interesting is I feel like this is Hulu's kind of first late night show.
Yeah.
Have you guys watched any other like streaming like talk shows?
Like late night, like non Daily Show type things?
Yeah. So like Chelsea Handler has a show on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Have you guys seen her show at all?
I've seen an episode.
Okay. Because there's also another talk show on Netflix now, too, and I can't remember. Oh, Bill Nye, I guess, has a show on Netflix, too, but that's not exactly a talk show. But it's interesting to watch the streaming platforms try to enter the late night game.
Yeah.
Because for so long, it's just been a network TV staple.
Yeah.
But then, you know, like HBO got Bill Maher, and then TBS has Samantha Bee and Conan, but it's just like every medium's adopting their own version of sort of what the late night show is.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a bad idea in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, the network is so financially focused, they aren't able to be as creative as you would like.
Yeah.
True. You know what I mean? Even when we saw Colbert go from Comedy Central to CBS?
CBS.
Yes. And, you know, the genius that he had in Comedy Central, at least in the beginning, I think he's come a long way since, but we lost a lot of that.
I agree.
Yeah.
I kind of likened it to like a great punk rock band starting to play elevator music and Stephen Colbert from. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So, again, like all of my critiques will not be about her vision behind what she's trying to do.
That's fair.
It's just the delivery of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what type of layout it will be, if it's going to follow the same format or if it's going to be different every time. Because I was reading online, so for this specific one, she started with the song, and then she had her monologue, which was like her open.
And just FYI, this is the part we're starting to get into spoilers.
Sorry.
No. You haven't done it yet.
We're transitioning.
Okay, we're transitioning.
No, you did perfectly.
And then she did the pre-tape, right, which was like a comedy bit.
Yes.
And then she had her guest, and then she did her little comedy bit. So I'm wondering if that's going to be the format. Is she always going to have a guest? Is she always going to approach a topic? Or is she going to streamline it? Because it did seem a little busy to me. Like
too many segments.
Too many segments. And what am I focusing on? Like, what are you trying to tell me? Like, are we talking about feminism? Are we talking about those audience members and how we feel about that? Like, what are we talking about?
And it was a satirical nature to it, too. Also making fun of the night shows in general.
In general, exactly.
Which I think I like that. I think people are going to enjoy that because it just makes it feel more authentic.
And I thought it was funny because I wrote it down, she promised whenever the show got too unsettling, they'd cut to a white man at a desk just so your average run-of-the-mill late night show would feel like it was that.
I'd love that.
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious too. I'm glad you brought that up, Dee, because I do think both this show and the other show we'll be talking about today are playing with the conventions of what we're used to, which is part of the appeal. Is there's like that distant sense of familiarity that's kind of comforting, but then it's also tossed in its head to make you laugh. I want to address what you brought up about what is the show actually kind of trying to do. Like, there were so many segments. I'm not sure all the segments really kind of fused together.
I don't feel like they did at all.
I don't either, and I don't care. Like, I still loved it.
Yeah.
It kind of has almost to a variety show feel to it, to me. And so then it doesn't have to really be cohesive because you're just kind of doing a little bit of everything.
Right.
A sketch comedy, a song, a dance, you know, and then, oh, we're going to talk some serious stuff. So
Yeah.
It could be that.
Well, that's what I liked. I mean, the thing is, this is very common with late night shows. If you go back and watch anyone's first late night show on a new platform, whatever, it's usually pretty messy.
Mm-hmm.
Even like if you go back and watch John Oliver's first season, mm-hmm. which is a late night show that I love, he's gotten so much better. And I feel like part of the success of a late night show is just given 100 episodes and yeah. it'll tighten up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I did think this was kind of a mess.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is, something about it felt so radical to me. I think it's someone like who admittedly does watch John Oliver every week. I was like, it's so nice to just feel a little less anger on screen right now.
True.
You know, like I just, there was this sense of open-hearted earnestness where she just wanted to hear people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like very rarely do late night hosts actually want to listen to their guests.
Yeah.
You know, they bring on guests that agree with them. Or they bring on guests that they know they'll disagree with, so there's not they're not going to listen.
Yeah. And oh, I was going to say,
please.
To bounce off of that,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, because we're spoiling now anyway. So there were some scenes and some ideas and some skits that I think are just very transformative and very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Even the scene where she's in with the conservative family, more or
yes.
less, and having open dialogue, and it's like, at the end, we're not trying to paint anyone in a certain picture.
Mm-hmm.
We're having a conversation, and guess what? We don't agree. Like, I think that concept, because her audience, in my opinion, is like super, like the extreme liberals.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, we can both argue that extreme conservatives and extreme liberals are the people that we need to get to the middle mm-hmm. to have some, like, to have some impact going forward politically and, you know, just to get away from the issues that we're having now. And so I'd love the only way that you kind of have that kind of transformative nature is to listen.
Right.
And she displayed that with that skit, and she displayed that with the interview that she had
yes.
at the end. Mm. And I think that is going to be the power of this show. Mm-hmm. And that is the aspect of the show that I think is worth revisiting.
Yeah. And that's what's funny about the show is, like, I think even when it takes missteps, purely the spirit behind the show feels very radical to
yeah.
me,
mm-hmm.
which is why I found it to be a very exciting pilot. I was just like, I have not seen this.
Yeah.
And I
exactly.
do.
Exactly. That's the that sums it up. I'm just yeah. like, man, I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
Like that. Like, that's a great line.
And it makes me excited to, like, I don't know. I just like, and we'll have the conversation if is anyone actually going to watch it, because mm-hmm. well, let's save that.
Can I say that you brought it up last week? And I have Hulu at home, and I saw the ads for it, but I didn't really actually see the ads. Like, nothing pulled me in. Like, mm-hmm. I Love America. What is that?
Yeah.
Right.
The title.
You know, I feel like, yeah.
yeah.
And even, like, the graphics of it, I was
it's a little weird.
Yeah,
it doesn't suit to me what I saw.
Like,
I actually sat down and thought, okay, well, you know what? I could get into this, but
yeah.
if I was just browsing because there's so much to watch, I would have passed right over it.
For sure. Yeah, mm-hmm. the marketing feels weird for this show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, especially, like, the imagery surrounding the show just yeah. visually doesn't feel quite right.
But then, if we are going to start talking about the musical, I call it the musical in the beginning.
Yes.
That was, like, four minutes long. I thought it was, A, too long, but then I thought, well, it's entertaining me, and she's trying to get a lot of points out in,
mm-hmm. yeah.
in it. But I also thought it was just too long.
Yeah.
Like, I get your point. You could have cut that in half easily.
Yeah. Sarah Silverman can get this way. And, like, I'm admittedly a huge fan, but the thing I like about Sarah Silverman's comedy is she's always trying to do something more than just make you laugh.
Yeah.
She's always trying to make you think, and I do think connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, whenever I watch her stand-up, which I watch a lot of, she's really trying to connect with people. Like,
yeah.
she'll tease a Christian, but then earnestly engage with them as to why they believe what they believe. And, yeah, but sometimes that can be at the cost of the joke a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I almost like her more as a thinker than as a comic.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I think we saw that a bit with this opening
yeah.
number.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just, the spirit of the show is what makes me so excited.
I'm excited that, man, this is something that, you know, this is her baby,
mm-hmm.
and it actually got delivered
right.
on
yep.
a major platform. And
yeah.
that's the power in it. That's what I like. I think that was the most exciting thing about it, more
yeah.
than the show, is just the idea. I'm watching someone trying to, a non-minority trying to do something like this. Well, I guess as a female, she's a minority, but
yeah.
racially speaking and just, like, experience-wise, and she has money, like, she, in a lot of ways, she doesn't have to do what she's trying to attack.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
she
like
could
that.
Just kind of coast on her privilege
yeah.
if
yeah.
she wanted to, and she's not okay with that.
Right.
Yeah.
Which so many people in Hollywood are, even if they don't admit it, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
You mentioned this interview, and this was my favorite part.
Mine too. Mm-hmm.
So she interviewed Megan Phelps Roper, which, if you guys recognize the last name Phelps, they're most famous as being the family that is the engine behind the Westboro Baptist Church, which is, of course, the church that pickets soldiers' funerals and will hold up signs at LGBT events that say God hates fags.
Celebrating 9/11.
Yeah, they celebrate terrorist acts and saying it's God's wrath. But she is someone who was born into the church, raised in the church, indoctrinated by the church, and ended up leaving because one of her trolls on Twitter ended up engaging with her in a dialogue.
Sorry to cut you off. No. Which I also thought was interesting is that she was put in charge of the church's social media. Yeah. So it's the only reason why she went on Twitter and social media is to spread more of their beliefs. And then
her mind got changed.
So one time Twitter did something good. But you know, it's not always just a terrible cesspool of horror. What did you think of this interview, D'Angelo?
It was good. I think I have a really interesting perspective because I'm a very devout Christian. But that, which she was part of, is not something that I ever really identified with or agreed with. So I would say even a lot of Christians condemn that because it's like, man, that paints a bad picture on us. You know what I mean? So we got to fight across that. So it was interesting because their little signs like, you know, fags go to hell or like
God
that's
hates fags.
God hate fags.
Get it right, D'Angelo.
Yeah, I know. Get it right. That I've never heard them speak before. But I kind of already put a persona on them.
Right.
So it was interesting, like, even having to attack my own, oh, these are real people. Like, her, she was a real person. You know what I mean? And that whole conversation about just that everyone has layers and not just monsters, which she said, I think I also had to do with her when she came to the couch in the interview.
Yeah. I think the thing that she said that really kind of shook me was when she's like, even psychopaths believe what they've... I forget exactly how she said it, and I wish I would have written it down. Shame on me. But she was saying something like, these people are just human beings with a very, very single-minded worldview
Something. Yeah. I remember, yeah.
She was saying that although they're extremists, they're not psychopaths.
Yes.
Right. And then she was saying they are isolated by bad ideas. Mm-hmm. And so those bad ideas, they continue to expand on because they don't know anything different because that's all they know.
Yeah.
And they only associate with people that think that way in the church.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting too because you think someone's an extremist, they must be crazy.
Yeah.
And they must be crazy to think this way or to do the things that they do. But then you see this girl, Megan, who, you know, is a young girl who thought that way for years. And then what did she say? She's been out of the church for 5 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like she's done a 360. Yeah.
What an eloquent person. I was like, what a beautiful representation of how people can change. And just what you said, extremists aren't psychopaths, or whatever that quote was, that's never a spirit that you would see on a late night show. A comedy late night show, the joke would be they are psychopaths.
Exactly.
You know,
steer clear.
Yeah, that's the fuel for every single late night show on TV, especially political ones. So for that sentiment to be kind of acknowledged in the late show just did feel very radical to me.
And I love the fact that they could have the conversation, and even if you didn't agree with either side, her or Sarah, it felt very neutral. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like I can make my own decision. Like, can people really change? And is this a conversation that we should be having? And the answer is yes to both of those. You know, so that's what I thought was beautiful also about the show.
Yeah.
Is that it wants to do more in this country where everything is being polarized by the president, polarized by people and race and all of it, that here's this person who is the celebrity that, again, like you said, she doesn't have to do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it almost felt, at least for me in the pilot, that she wants to do this. Like, she wants to have these conversations. And she wants not only to learn herself, but to share that with us.
Yeah. Well, I think one interesting thing and why it's important that someone like her is doing it is because we're talking about like pretty heavy stuff. It's also comedy. You know what I mean? And I think that's the best way to attack our country is to entertain them but educate them.
Yeah. Right.
And so I also like that aspect of it. It's just like her quirkiness and her aspect of her as a comedian is also very much a part of this show, which is important to be able to dissect all the heavy stuff that's happening.
And it's central to a late night show, right? That's what I like. It's like on one level she does want to have her version of a late night show. Mm-hmm. And so it needs to be funny.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, it sounds like overall we liked it. One of the conversations I want to have with you guys, though, is she wants the right and the left to both watch this show. I wonder how many conservative Republicans are going to think Sarah Silverman has a new late night show on Hulu.
They're not going to watch, unfortunately.
I know.
If the and I think it's lost in the marketing.
The title, the art.
I Love You America with Sarah Silverman. Okay. I'm not. Right. Lost me at Sarah Silverman for the right. You know?
The assumption would be that it's going to be the John Oliver. It's going to be the Bill Maher. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing about the marketing to me that implies it's a bridge kind of show.
Yeah. At all.
And I think she's making some mistakes, too, on this show related to that. I'm not sure showing us 6 minutes of two naked people.
I was wondering if we're going to talk about that.
I mean, that's why I wasn't really...
Let's talk about that. Like, so that. At this point, you know we're in spoiler territory. She spent a long time kind of making a joke about how, like, bodies are never shown on TV, which I thought was kind of funny, and I agreed with her. But we saw full frontal male, full frontal female, just straight up lot of nudity.
Style. That's her style.
Yeah. What did you guys think of the segment, first of all? And do you think it makes sense for the format?
I mean, I think you're answering my question. Because I mean, and I might just be oblivious, but I didn't understand the point of it. Besides the shock value, and besides that being like part of her spiel, like, what are you trying to bring to my attention right now?
Right. Yeah. I totally agree. I mean, I think a lot of shows will try to do something shocking in the first 5 minutes. Like, Mindhunter did the same thing. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, shock value shouldn't be the appeal of this show. Because shock value is polarizing. So I was like, why start your show with something polarizing if your goal is to create a non-polarizing show?
Yeah.
So I felt like that was kind of a mistake. I do think she could tone down, like, some of the pussy lips, fucks. You know, she's so vulgar.
It's her, though.
Which, that's what I love about her. Yeah. But I just don't think, like, my parents from Cleveland are going to watch this show if she keeps saying pussy lips.
No, that's why I say there are a lot of different type of people that need to do this. Because I wouldn't want to tell Sarah, don't be yourself. This is part of who she is. And now that's why I'm like, play, but I'm not going to watch it because I don't want to see that stuff. Like, I don't want to see his dick staring at me. So I'm good. I'll pass, you know. But I can understand it and I can appreciate it. Yeah. But I think what I hope this show does, even if it doesn't last, is it inspires people on the other side who also at the end of the day want, what's the goal, like humanizing people and having progress. I'm hoping that it inspires them to want to do their version of the show so that the people who consume them for their name will also get the same type of lesson.
And I hope that at the end of the day it does create the dialogue, because I read somewhere online that made me think, like, if the cameras weren't there, would we would they still be having the same conversations? And I wonder, even here in LA, like, someone's super conservative, am I going to have that conversation with them that's uncomfortable? And then are we going to be able to agree to disagree?
Right. I know. There is that element of, like, how real can it ever be when it's videotaped? But I think she's really giving it her all, which, I have to applaud that.
Yeah. Yes.
Agreed.
Cool. So it sounds like overall we like the show. I actually already watched the second one. I liked it.
Did it get better for you?
Is it more cohesive?
It wasn't more cohesive.
Okay. It's more she needs about 100 episodes.
Yeah. She's still got to figure out what the show is.
She has a lot of this could be good but bad. She has a lot of creative control.
Yeah, she does.
And sometimes you need that outside voice to kind of hone it into. So.
Yeah, I agree, but I'll be curious to see where the show goes. I think I'm going to probably be watching this show every week, though, so I'll keep you guys posted. That being said, we have any other last thoughts about I Love You, America?
No.
Cool. Well, the next show we're talking about is another show based around a talk format with a very, very famous female comic. The show we're talking about right now is True TV's new show, At Home with Amy Sedaris. It premiered on October 24th, and it is kind of a very weird send-up of HGTV, more like Food Network, kind of homegrown, Ina Garten-style cooking shows, and do-it-yourself Martha Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
What did you guys think of this show?
You're up, D.
Me, I'm first. All right. Mm-hmm. You know what? I was weirded out, which was the goal, but it was funny.
Yeah.
I laughed, and I'm not the target audience for this show. I don't feel like I was, but the way I walked away feeling from this show was like, man, I really like her.
Yeah.
She delivered. Like, and I appreciated everything. I couldn't tell if she was acting. Like, you know what I mean? It just felt very real and organic, and I appreciated it.
Yeah.
I thought it was hysterical.
Good.
I thought it was very, like, over the top, taking the stereotypes times 100.
Yeah, throwing them down.
And throwing them down. But but knowing that she's smiling, like, from ear to ear, and she's loving it.
Yeah.
I thought it was hysterical. I wasn't really sure what was going on half the time, but I was like, ooh.
Are you
guys... am I actually learning how to cook something here. Am I learning? But I did learn about all the different type of fish.
Yes, you did.
Are you guys pass or play?
This is probably a pass for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely a pass, actually.
I'm going to say a play just because I'm curious what she's going to do next.
Right.
Because this one was really just was all over the place. The woman in the forest.
I know. So weird.
Everything, both of these shows, I love the creativity. It's just like, I love walking away and be like, man, I've never seen or thought or it's just different. I think Hollywood needs that.
I agree.
Yeah.
So online they're calling it a comedy series / talk show satire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so as soon as I read that after I watched it, I was like, okay, now I
that makes sense.
That makes sense to me. Mm-hmm.
For sure. I agree with you guys. It is funny though. On paper, I think I love everything about this show. In delivery, I'm not so sure. It's almost the opposite. Where Sarah Silverman's show, I think, was kind of messy, but the spirit enough carried me through to like it. I feel like this show is kind of messy, but what it could have been, I wanted it to be. Like, I wanted it to be so much more. Do you guys have any, like, experience with Amy Sedaris as a comic?
No, it's my first exposure.
I'm actually a huge Amy Sedaris fan, so I went in kind of knowing who she was. Her brother David is a very famous writer whose books I really like. Yeah, she's been on a lot. I mean, she was an improv girl. She grew up, kind of came up in Second City with Stephen Colbert and Steve Carell. They actually had a show together.
Wow.
So she's been, if you look at her credits, you'll be like, oh yeah, I have seen her in that. She's got a nice arc in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt right now. She's definitely like a respected force in the world of the comedy community, especially the improv community.
Okay.
This show, for me, I wanted it to either take on more of a point of view or be weirder. I wanted it to be either, because do you guys watch any Tim and...
You wanted it weirder?
Honestly, I did. I know. Could it even be weirder? Do you guys watch any, like, Tim and Eric? Like, the Tim and Eric Awesome Show?
I know the lane. I know the mob. Yeah.
So, like, I almost would have rather Adult Swim pick this show up, and they just go weirder.
Oh, they went real weird.
They would have gone really weird, but... Yeah. I would have been more surprised, I think. It's hard because, like, I really like weird cringe comedy. Like, I actually love that stuff. And you should check out Tim and Eric. Like, I'll send you an episode that I think you should watch. Sometimes that show goes too far, where you're grossed out or scared or, like, sad or something. But it's taking the jump that I want it to take. I don't know. I'm going to try to say this concisely, but I either wish it would have been more focused on parodying specific elements of those shows, or just gone a little further in the direction it wanted to go.
Mm.
That being said, there were moments I thought were hilarious, and I'm a tentative play because I agree. I'm curious to see what else the show will do. What was confusing to me was this. I think two aired. I only watched one, but the website had it made it look like episode two is episode one.
Yeah, it was weird.
Did you guys watch the fish one?
I watched the fish one.
Okay.
Was that not episode one?
Wait. That was episode one.
Oh, I watched Cooking by Yourself or something like that.
Yeah.
Is that not the first episode?
I don't know.
Wait, no, it said 101.
It said 101, but I was looking online and
oh, you know what? Yeah.
So I did what I was supposed to do.
But
but this is the fish one, the TGIF, is episode one.
That's
the pilot.
Oh, wow.
It's just mislabeled on the website, which isn't your fault.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder how much True TV's putting into the show if they made that mistake.
Well, now I want to go back and watch so I watched the second episode, apparently.
Yeah.
So there's some things I would have needed to know before. I wonder if they connected.
I wonder if they are.
Now, I got to watch, because it is worth revisiting. I want to check out the first episode.
So here's what I'll say. I actually did watch both.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The second one to me had more of actually a point of view. So it was like the jokes were like, she's lonely.
Yeah.
All this stuff is covering up this thing about her character. Literally the first one, D'Angelo, was just like all about fish and just like...
And then a lamb chop was thrown in there.
Okay. Yeah, there were some lamb chops.
And a baked potato boat.
All right. Amen.
If we're going to talk about a show with too many jumbled segments, this is the show for me. I would have wanted to see a bit more of a theme. I was like, why? This is spoiler territory, guys. But I was like, why are we at a barbecue all of a sudden?
At a golf range.
Yeah, I was just like, I want there to be some kind of connective tissue rather than just all these weird sketches. But
so did the episodes connect, Jeff, or were they completely separate?
They, I don't think
no?
so.
Okay.
I think they're pretty...
Different entities?
They're both bananas, but...
And the first episode sounds like it was weirder than the second episode.
I think, yeah, overall, because it didn't have as much of connective tissue, as I was just saying.
Interesting.
But, I mean, I will say there were some very, very funny parts to me. I just wanted it to be consistently more funny. But I did like some of the jokes in the forest.
The first one was hilarious to me because it was so random and passive aggressive, and I was like, "Oh."
It was very passive aggressive.
Did you guys laugh more at the Sarah Silverman or this show?
I probably laughed more at this show.
Me too.
Yeah. This show's probably funnier.
It's funny.
Yeah. Because it's so outrageous.
Yeah, it is outrageous.
The knife guy.
Yeah, I don't know about the knife guy.
The knife guy freaked me out.
I gotta watch it now.
You can go back and watch it.
So what's the vision of the show? What is she trying
to
accomplish?
I think I'm a little lost on.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm like, are you trying to parody Martha Stewart or just do crazy characters? Like, I wanted it to have a bit more of like a thesis statement, I think. What do you think, Linda?
I think that, okay, so there's a couple things. I'm all over the place. Mm-hmm. So remember earlier I was telling you, so it reminds me, and I didn't watch the show, but I know like parts of it, of Tracy Ullman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of that, like characters and like quirky and weird. Mm-hmm. So that part I liked. Mm-hmm. But reading about it after the fact, this is supposed to be kind of like her books, but live.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't read her books, so I don't know how true they are. But one of her books, I guess, is called Simple Times, Crafts for Poor People. And it's co-written by the guy that directs the show.
Okay.
Paul, and I'm going to butcher this, but Danilo. And so I think that maybe with time it's going to make more sense. Mm-hmm. Or maybe if I read the book, then I'll understand like the direction that they're going.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give it a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to send you an episode of Tim and Eric because they would do the same thing where it's kind of a bunch of sketches, but there's like sort of one through line, which I guess this kind of happened with the businessmen.
Is that the through line?
I don't know. Did you feel like there was a through line for this besides just like fish or gross?
No, I think that was just fish.
Yeah.
It could just be one of those shows where it's just like every episode's his own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, and then also too though, they're online, they're saying like she's trying to deconstruct feminism in a humorous way.
I can see
and,
that for
and
sure.
The role that women play.
Yeah, in, the matriarchal.
Exactly, like the caregiver and the homemaker. Mm-hmm. But I want to sit down and have dinner with, you know, a bunch of businessmen and talk about business and what you do outside of the home. So it's a bit of that. I thought that, okay, so if you're going to bring up, like, constantly mocking the stereotype of what a woman should be, then that could be an interesting take.
Well, I definitely saw that in the second episode.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the part I liked the most, just attacking, I guess, the housewife or a single woman, and just attacking the stereotypes there. But it was weird because she would like deconstruct it, and then in the middle of the episode, she gets a date and she just drops everything for it. So it was just like, it was really funny, but I think I like the authenticity in that because it's like, oh yeah, everybody wants to be in a relationship or you want a relationship. So it was funny to see these first 15 to 20 minutes of her being just trying to promote herself and being single and being independent, and then this guy comes in and asks her out and she just loses her shit. So that was kind of funny to see that.
I think I want to see more of it though. Like I love the idea of like a critique of the anti-feminism of some of these shows. I just wish I would have felt that a little more rather than just like talking about like the fish's mouth for like 3 minutes.
She was weird. Yeah, I liked it, but it was weird.
It's weird, but I like the weird too. I think I either wanted to like take on a point of view or totally throw a point of view out the window and just be crazy. I want it to be either.
But don't you think her non-reactions to everything that was going on was part of the humor of it all?
I thought it was hilarious.
Like, she was smiling.
I love her. Like, want to consume her other stuff.
She's very talented.
Yeah. So
I got to go see her at Upright Citizens Brigade like a couple months ago, and on stage improvising, she's a genius.
Yeah.
There's a reason she's kind of carved out the career she is, because especially thinking on her feet, it's like watching magic happen. So we'll have to catch Amy Sedaris next time she's live. But
definitely.
I'll play. I'm glad to hear that the show's trying to do something a little bit more than just be weird. Because I think if it wants to just be weird, for me, it wasn't quite weird enough. Yeah. For any of you guys in the comments who have like seen Tim and Eric or any of that really weird anti-comedy on Adult Swim, I'd love to hear your take, especially if you've seen both shows. And kind of let me know if you sort of agree with me or don't agree with me. And in general, our analysis, let us know what you guys think. It's been fun to have you guys in the comments.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Do you guys have any last thoughts on At Home with Amy Sedaris on True TV?
I just, like, with these two shows, once again, the creativity, the outside the box aspect. It's too many things, too many times we've seen movies and TV shows just the same old over and over and over. And I hope that this is a continuous trend going forward, whether these shows pop off or not. I love the creativity with it.
Yeah, I like the idea of making fun of something that's so common.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the more late night shows we get, the more cooking shows we get, the more important it is for us to make fun of it.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I think that my last take would be wherever these shows land, I wish they would just market them a little better so that with all that's out there, that we would be able to find them easier. Mm-hmm. I mean, we review shows, but for just the regular person that's trying to find something new to watch, you know, you need to market to that person too. Like, what are you really trying to do that's different than everyone else that's in this field?
That's what we're here for, guys, too.
Absolutely.
You know, that's why we do this review show.
Let us know in the comments if you had even heard of these shows before we reviewed them, because I agree, I do not think they've been well marketed. Well, guys, this has been fun. This has been TV Pilot Reviews, y'all. My name is Jeff Graham. If you want to find me online, you can do so at Jeffrey C. Graham. Let us know what pilots you think we should be covering there. Also, next week, we're covering a new Showtime pilot called SMILF. Which stands for Single Mom I'd Like to...
I've seen billboards for that.
Yes.
Marketing well done.
So there's a short film associated with it, and maybe we'll try to cover one more. I haven't exactly looked at what's airing next week, but I'll let you guys know soon. Tune in to find out, though, guys. We tape live on Wednesdays at 10 p.m., and we also have a podcast. So if you're watching, you could listen. If you're listening, you could watch. Do both.
Yes.
Thanks, guys. And Linda is so girly. Chat with me. Let me know what you thought about these shows.
And once again, I'm D'Angelo. Hit me up on Twitter at D'Angelo TV. Also on Instagram at D'Angelo. Thanks again for joining us, guys. Can't wait to see you guys next week.
That being said, we'll see you next week. Bye, y'all.
Deuces. Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.